Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, I know you just put your hymnals away, but I want everyone here to grab their hymnals. And I want you to open up to page 138 in front of your hymnal. Page 138. At the very bottom, you will find a prayer that says, "For a life of service." And follow along as I read these words. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. This prayer is a very famous prayer, written some 800 years ago. And it's a model prayer for us to use because in this prayer, it emphasizes how we as Christians should live. The world seeks to be praised and honored by the mighty, but not so with Christians. It is our desire not to be served, but to serve. But there is a sinful nature that lives in us that greatly desires to be great in the eyes of people. We see that we can easily act like James and John that we heard about this morning. And as Jesus corrected his disciples, let us listen to our Lord and teacher so that we can learn that to be great is to serve. Now, when this account happened, Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. And for the third time, Jesus explained to his disciples what would happen. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. Three times now, Jesus has explained the brutal death that he would endure. You would think his disciples would be focused on him. But instead, what do we see? They're only focused on themselves. For James and John walked to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." How could James and John act like this? First of all, notice what they said to Jesus even before they brought their request to him. Even before they brought their request, they wanted Jesus to say yes to them, almost as if they were forcing Jesus to grant their request to them. And what was their request? They wanted to sit at Jesus' right and left in his glory. Now, what exactly does that mean? Just think of a royal courtroom. At the very center is the king. And those who are to his right and to his left are those who have the highest authority besides the king. And that's what James and John wanted. They wanted to be in the highest in the kingdom of God. They wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, to receive praise and honor from others. And it's unbelievable that James and John would act in this way. Jesus has just told them that he would die, and they're only concerned about themselves. That would be like if your parent told you that they were going to die, and the first thing that you said to them was, "What am I getting in the inheritance?" It just floors us that James and John would do this. But when you think about it, are we any different? Week after week, we come here to church and we hear about how Christ loved us and died for us. We hear about how God still loves us and provides for us. This should move us to be completely focused on God and to give him praise and thanks, to serve and obey him. And yet very quickly, what do? We end up being focused on ourselves, focused on receiving praise and thanks from others, focused on being great in the eyes of people. Now, is it wrong to receive praise and thanks from others? No. God has given us all different talents and gifts, and he wants us to use those gifts. And when we do, it is good and right to be acknowledged for what we do. But when you use your gifts and talents, what is the motive of your heart? If it's done to give praise to God, then it's God-pleasing. But if it's done with a selfish motive, if it's done in an attitude that's all about me, so that you can receive praise from others, so that you would be considered great in their eyes, that is sinful. That is not being great in God's kingdom. That's trying to be great in the eyes of this world. And we are all guilty of this. I myself am guilty of this sin. And so we see we can easily act like James and John. But did Jesus become angry at James and John when they brought this request to him? No. He was patient with them. He knew that James and John had faith in him, even though their faith may have been weak at this moment. And so he calmly instructed and explained to them what they were really asking. "You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" Flat out, Jesus told James and John, "You have no idea what you are asking for." And so he asked them, "Can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" But what does Jesus mean by that? Jesus is talking about how he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. For there was another time that Jesus used that analogy of drinking a cup. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was in complete anguish because he knew the suffering that he would soon endure. He looked up to heaven and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Therefore, when Jesus asked if James and John wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, they would have to suffer and die like he would. And how did James and John react to that? How did they respond? They confidently said, "Yes, we can do that." How little they understood what Jesus was saying to them. And that is why Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Jesus assured James and John that they would share in his sufferings. They would be hated and persecuted for their faith. And that came true. James was beheaded, and John was thrown into exile because of their faith. But when it came to who would sit at Jesus' right or left, Jesus said, "You don't need to be concerned about it. Those places have already been prepared for people." Who are those people? We don't know. And in the end, it doesn't matter. After Jesus said that to James and John, the conversation stopped until the other 10 disciples heard about what James and John did. When they heard about it, they became angry at them. They were furious against them. But why are they so indignant against James and John? It is not because the other 10 were so selfless while James and John were being selfish. The other 10 were angry because they themselves wanted to ask Jesus the same question. They wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And we have to shake our heads at just how selfish the other 10 were. But we also have to shake our own heads, for we can do the same thing, don't we? We can be just as selfish. We don't like it when other people get praised and we don't. For when that happens, when someone does something and they're thanked for it, do you ever become angry inside? Do you ever become so furious that you are thinking to yourself, "What about me? Look at all the great things that I do. I'm the one who worked extra hours, and yet I wasn't thanked for it. Why is that person thanked for it? I'm the one who does so much around this house, and yet it seems like I'm not appreciated. Why should I appreciate what someone else does in the house? I'm the one who does things for this church, whether it's building and grounds, ladies group, church council, or whatever it may be. And yet I'm barely acknowledged for it. And yet why is that person acknowledged for one thing that they do when that doesn't even measure up to everything that I do?" Now it may be that you should be thanked more often for what you do. But to be great is not to serve so that you are praised. To be great is to serve with a selfless attitude. An attitude that does not say, "What's in it for me?" But an attitude that says, "How can I serve God and others today?" For Paul himself said, "Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." And that's the point that Jesus makes here. He called the disciples together and he said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And we see that today, don't we? We see those who are in authority use their authority to serve themselves. And why do they do that? It's because in the eyes of the world, to be great is to be at the very top of the pyramid, to have no one above you, and to have everyone below you. But this is where Jesus takes that idea of being great and he turns it upside down. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Here we see the difference between the world and those who follow Christ. The world desires to be first and to be above all. But not so with you, dear Christians. It is our desire to be last and to have everyone above us. This is our desire because that is what Christ has done for us. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Just marvel at that fact. Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, could have forced everyone to bow down before him and to serve him. He could have exercised his authority over others. And on Judgment Day, every knee will bow down to Christ and confess him as Lord. But not so with the Son of Man when he was here on earth. He did not come to be served, but to serve. And one of the greatest examples of Jesus doing that happened on the night before he died. On that night, Jesus knelt down, poured water into a bucket, and washed his disciples' feet. The disciples were amazed at this, and even Peter said, "You shouldn't be doing this." But Jesus replied, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. But that's not the only reason that Jesus came. He also came to give his life as a ransom for many. And marvel at that fact. Would any of us be willing to suffer and die for someone who is completely selfish and only concerned about being great in the eyes of others? None of us would do that. But even the Son of Man did that even for you and even for me, even when we can be so selfish and self-centered. And when Christ did that for us, it was not done out of selfish motives, but he gladly and voluntarily gave up his life to save us from our sins. And since we have received that salvation, we praise and thank God for what he has done. And now it is our desire to serve others. For that prayer that we looked at the beginning of this sermon is the prayer that we offer to God, that we seek not so much to be understood, but to understand, not to be loved, but to love, not to be served, but to serve. For to be great is to serve, just as Christ served us and gave his life as a ransom to save us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.